today, aren't you? Glad to have a shepherd. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23, one of those most precious passages in all of the Word of God that talks about God's relationship to us. Now, while you're turning there, let me tell you a couple things that are very important, okay? So I know you can multitask and you can turn and listen all at the same time. And let me mention, don't forget to bring your yes cards tonight. Those of you that have your friends already committed, I got my yes card ready to go tonight. Trust you will. We'll be talking about our yes cards tonight, turning them in, building that prayer list for Friend Day, getting them on the board, asking God to do something great in hearts. And so don't forget to do that. And if you need some more yes cards, invitation cards, anything like that, all of that is right there at the table in the back. As you go out the door, just grab it and hand it out, and we'll be glad for that. Then the second thing I want to mention is a change in midweek service this week. They're going to begin pulling the carpet up on Wednesday morning. And so we're going to do a little service change to Tuesday, September the 17th. So Tuesday night this week rather than Wednesday. I know that'll affect some people because of your work schedules, things going. We'll live stream the service. We'll have Calvary Clubs that night, Teen Elevate. It'll be the regular Wednesday night service, moving it to Tuesday because of all the demolition. And we did not want there to be a tripping hazard, somebody to get hurt. We have insurance. We just didn't want to have to use it on Wednesday night, okay? And that's a joke. All right, it's supposed to be funny. That's all right. But anyway, we just want to make sure that we keep our church family as safe as we possibly can through this renovation. Probably be only Wednesday night that'll be affected. Sunday morning we'll be right ready to go. They'll have it ready for us. Flooring should be completed by next week, and some other things. So we're right in the midst of this renovation, and prayerfully everything will be ready pretty much by the 29th. Okay, so Tuesday night this week. All right, Psalm 20. As we look in our Bibles together, we're going to read all six verses. If you don't have a Bible, the text verses will be on the screen for you. It's a Psalm of David. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now I want to draw your attention again to verse number 3. The first four words, "He restoreth my soul." I want to talk to you this morning about being back in the fold. Let's pray and ask God to help us today. Father, thank You for Your Word. I pray the Spirit of God would be our helper today. I realize that my words are powerless, but Your Word is powerful. Help me to preach Your Word today. God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would do His work in our hearts. Lord, there may be straying sheep in the service. Lord, there's times we've strayed and we don't even realize it, that we're far from the shepherd and need to be brought back home. God, there may be some today that they don't even know the shepherd. Lord, I pray that before this service is out, You'll do a deep work in our hearts. Draw us to Yourself. Lord, help us to know You, love You, to walk close with You. And Lord, we'll sure thank You. Help us to understand Your working in our lives as Your sheep. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, there was a couple students that needed a summer job, and so they got one with the Public Works Department in a small town. They were given a job of painting the center lines of a rural road. They were to be taking yellow paint and two solid yellow lines through that rural road, through the countryside and all that. And supervisor told them, "Now say, guys, you're on probation. Now we're going to see if you're going to work out. And don't work out, we understand. But here's what you got to do to keep your job. You have to paint at least 2 miles of road, 2 miles of road per day to keep your job." And so on the first day, those boys, I mean, they worked. They got 4 miles done. And I mean, he was elated. And then the next day, they only got 2 miles, which was average. That was what he was wanting. And then the third day, their progress slowed, and they were down to 1 mile. And so their supervisor, concerned about it, said, "Hey, guys, come in." Called them into his office and said, "Boys, listen, you've been doing great. Your first day was just, I mean, out of the park. You did 4 miles that day." And he said, "But then things have been slacking off. You know, you did 2 miles the next day, and that was okay. That's average. But yesterday, you only did 1 mile, and what in the world's going on? And they looked at each other for a moment, and then one of the boys looked at his supervisor and said, well, he said, we got a problem. He said, we just keep getting farther and farther away from the paint bucket. So anyway, one of those delayed reactions. Well, that's the picture we've got in front of us. Not some boys getting further away from a paint bucket, but Christians who are getting farther and farther away from God. Psalm 23 uses the imagery of sheep straying from their shepherd. Sheep are prone to wander. And the truth of the matter is, so are we. I'm reminded of the hymn writer by the name of Robert Robinson. I can't help but think of him. He was converted under the preaching of George Whitefield in America's First Great Awakening. Shortly after his conversion, Robert Robinson became a pastor and pastored a number of congregations. One reached over 1,000 in attendance. And he was also a hymnist, a songwriter. He composed one of my favorite hymns. And I love the words. I love the melody. Most of all, I love the story behind the hymn. It's Come Thou Fount. The opening stanza, Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. And it was a song that was written to express His love and excitement and joy of being a Christian. But then the second stanza of the song proved to be tragically prophetic of His life. The chorus of it. And here's how it went. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It was interesting, after a number of years of faithful service to the Lord, nobody knows why, but Robinson lived out the words of his song, and he wandered away from God. You know, the sad truth is that you and I are prone to wander, aren't we, away from the shepherd, to leave the God we love. Now, you know what? The Bible uses terms like backslidden, cold, indifferent, strayed, leaving thy first love. It's not that we lose our salvation, but yet we leave off walking with God the way we should, and we lose the fellowship and the joy of being saved. We become restless, and it becomes a dangerous time in our lives spiritually. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 119, verse 176, the very last verse of Psalm 119. He said, I have gone astray like a lost sheep, seek thy servant. Well, I've got good news for you. God seeks His sheep. Notice in Psalm 23:3, He said, He restoreth my soul. I want you to notice with me several thoughts this morning. When you and I wander away from the fold, God brings us back. I want you to notice, first of all, the wandering sheep. The wandering sheep. You see, the very fact in verse number 3 that He restores us, the very fact that sheep need restoring, means that they can and do stray from the shepherd. And when a sheep who has, you think about it. Now, when we see this, a shepherd that meets all of our needs, a shepherd that leads in green pastures and still waters, we wonder, why in the world would anybody want to leave a shepherd like that? But when I think about how great my God is, when I think about how loving my Savior is, when I think about how wonderful Jesus is, I wonder why in the world would we ever want to walk away from Him. But we do. The Bible said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Robert Moyer, in his book on Psalm 23, wrote this. He said, that old sheep of God named Noah did. He was old enough to know better. You know what? There's some of us, we've been saved long enough, we know better than to stray from the shepherd, don't we? He went on to write, that old sheep, Abraham, wandered away from God's promised pastures and went down to Egypt. That old sheep, Moses, lost his temper and in a rage wandered from the path of righteousness. Solomon, one of the wisest sheep that God ever had, yet how silly he was over women. David, that sheep whose name means beloved, wandered far from the path of uprightness. And the sheep named Peter did the same. So have you, so have I. If we're honest this morning, every one of us at some point or another has strayed from the shepherd. And you know what? You may be straying right now. Matter of fact, I want to give you some reasons why we stray this morning. Very simple, but yet very profound. I want you to jot them down. Number one, one of the first reasons why we stray from the shepherd is the problem of neglect. There are times that sheep just neglect their shepherd. And if the truth is known, there are times that you and I neglect our walk and our relationship with God, don't we? As a matter of fact, a personal neglect of spiritual things will cause us to drift away from our God. You see, our shepherd leads us into the green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He makes us to lie down in peace and safety and satisfaction and rest. And you wonder, why is it that we have to be led to the very food, God's Word, the green pastures of His Word, the drink, God's Spirit, the necessary nutrients that sustain our spiritual lives? And listen, we wonder why in the world would have to be led to do those things. Shouldn't it just be something we naturally do? But the reality of it is, one of the easiest things for us to do in the Christian life, in the hustle and bustle of our lives, is to neglect the very things that cause our lives to flourish as Christians. We'll begin to forsake church. You know, I've seen it many a time. A person begins to neglect Wednesday night. Let me just tell you, we have a great time on Wednesday nights. We still, by the way, you know, it's still an important service to be in the house of God on a Wednesday night as we study the Bible together. We've been in the book of Hebrews for nearly a year, and I'm just telling you, it's a precious time together as we gather and study the Word of God. But I've watched people as they begin to drift, that they'll start missing on Wednesday night, or they'll start missing in Sunday school. Then the next thing you know, they're out on Sunday night. And I know there's work reasons and personal, I understand all of that, but you know what? If we can be here, we ought to be here and honor our God, shouldn't we? But yet they begin to drift, and then the next thing you know, they miss this Sunday and next Sunday. And before they know it, one day they wake up, they're out of church, they're away from the shepherd, and they couldn't even really tell you why it happened. You know what it was? It was just neglect. Many times it already started with neglecting a daily time in the Word of God and prayer and spending time with the Lord and fellowshipping with Him. And then later it begins to failing to serve Him and the giving of our time and resources. And listen, it's not that we don't know what we ought to do. We're just not doing it. It's neglect. And what we know to do, we don't do as we should do it. And many a sheep has neglected the rich green pastures of God's Word. They have failed to avail themselves of the still waters of prayer, to assemble together with God's flock on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. And then they find themselves drifted and strayed and away from God and away from the shepherd. And the joy's not like it one time was. And the satisfaction's not like it one time was. And the peace isn't like it one time was. Let me just tell you, friend, it's not the shepherd that left us, it's we who have left the shepherd. Difficult circumstances can cause us to stray. You know, sheep go through hard times. Especially in David's day, there would be storms, of times of sickness, they would suffer afflictions, there would be irritants that would come and make them restless and uncomfortable. And you know what, there's times that life makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? Times the shepherd leads the sheep on paths that become dark and difficult and even dangerous. And let me just say something. As God's sheep, we're not immune to the difficulties of life. We're not. There's times that life literally just beats us up. It takes the wind out of our sails. And if we're not careful, we'll experience during those times of hardship or trouble or problems or stress or pressure or sickness or whatever. Instead of following the shepherd and listening to His voice and drawing close to Him, we'll lose hope and we'll get discouraged and we'll become downcast and we'll drift away. Psalm 42 and verse 5, David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" That word cast down is an old English word for a cast sheep. Sheep that is strayed from the shepherd, that's drifted, they can get out in places the shepherd didn't want them to be, and they get in trouble, they can stumble, they can fall, or maybe they lay down in a hollow of a depression, or they get stuck in a gully, and before long, because they're top heavy and they have little spindly legs, their balance is not real good, and they'll just roll right over, and once they roll over, they can't get back up. You ever seen one of them big bugs that rolls over on its back and its legs are wiggling, you know, and it can't seem to roll over? That's what a sheep will do. And it becomes cast. And it can't get back up. And left in that condition, it begins to kick and bleed. And guess what? Wolves and coyotes and bears, they're listening in that day for that bleat, because there's a helpless sheep and there's easy prey. And I'm just going to tell you, God said, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Can I tell you, when you and I drift from the shepherd, we make easy targets for the devil. Our marriages become easy targets. Our families become easy targets. Our children become easy targets. We become easy targets for our adversary. Left to itself, that sheep, if it doesn't fall prey to predators, will eventually swell up. The circulation will be cut off. Its body will be filled with gases and it'll die. And you know what I found? Christians who get away from God, they just wilt spiritually. So easy to get away from God, so hard to come back to God. I know many a Christian right now that I work with and counsel with and talk to that have been out of church for years, and I try to get them back and they say, but Pastor, it's just so hard. If we're not careful, we'll let our trials and our troubles, instead of drawing us close to God, we'll let it drive us away from God. Instead of being cast down, we need to cast our cares. 1 Peter 5:6, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Psalm 42:5 has more to it than what I read. Listen to what David said in his psalm. He said, why art thou cast down? Why are you downtrodden? Why are you discouraged? Why are you depressed? Why are you cast like a sheep that cannot get up, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Christian, listen, you might be cast down this morning. Can I tell you, the greatest medicine for your soul is to hope in God. He'll never fail you. He's not abandoned you. He's promised to never. Hey, never alone, dear child of God. Never alone. He can restore your soul. Aren't you glad when I'm down, He can lift me up? Neglect. Difficult circumstances. Listen to this one. Secret sin. Most Christians aren't tripped up by outward wicked sin that we would think of. No, it starts in the heart. We just begin to get cold on God. We harbor bitterness or unforgiveness or criticism or whatever. Jealousy, anger, malice, inward temptations, wicked thoughts that consume us that nobody can see. Secret sin. We ignore it. We pretend like it's not there. We cover it up. We act like it's not a problem. Sometimes it's not what we're doing, it's what we're not doing. We tend to make excuse why we're not faithful to God. We try to make excuse of why we're not spending time with God's people or fellowshipping in His Word or serving Him or doing a myriad of other things that God's told us to do, that we should do, that we don't do. And if we're not careful, we'll not deal with it, and that sin will cause us to wander from God. D.L. Moody wrote in a flyleaf of a Bible, and we've wrote it many a time, sin will keep you from this book, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Friend, I'm telling you, when we get sin in our hearts and we allow it to be harbored there and undealt with and unconfessed, we get comfortable with it, we begin to cover it, we begin to coddle it, we begin to leave it there, and I'm telling you, friend, it will distance you. You could be sitting right here in this room and out of fellowship with God because of what could be in your heart. You've drifted. You have to be out there on a bar stool. You don't have to be in the places of promiscuity. You can be right here and be out of fellowship with God. Young person, you can be right here and wish you were out there, because you feel like that what's out there is better than anything God can offer you in here. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself out there. I thought about David and Bathsheba. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. We're familiar with his sin. It led to the murder of her husband Uriah the Hittite. He didn't actually kill him. He just wrote a death warrant. He said, put him in the hottest part of the battle, withdraw, and let the Amorites kill him. Let them take care of, let them do the dirty work. For a year, David harbored that sin in his heart. For a year, during that time, he was backslidden, broken, out of fellowship with God, wouldn't get right, lost his song, lost his joy, lost his meaning, lost his purpose, lost his satisfaction. God, to restore his soul, sent Nathan the prophet, the man of God, that told him a story about his sheep. And you can read that in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. Faced him with his sin, and there that king who could have had that prophet's head cut off, instead broke in repentance and under the convicting hand of God, fell off of his throne, and there in tears of repentance cried out to God for mercy and forgiveness, and thank God he restored his soul. He said in Psalm 51, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He hadn't lost his salvation, but he sure had lost the joy. Do you know the most miserable person on the face of the earth is a Christian who has strayed from the shepherd? They're backslidden and cold and away from God in their heart. You say, "Well, preacher, I'd think a wicked sinner would be the most miserable." No, they love it. They're in their element. But a Christian, you know better. You don't fit there anymore. And you know what? When we're away from God, we don't fit anywhere. You ever notice that? Because we're uncomfortable in church. It's not people. We can make excuse that people are making us uncomfortable, but the reality of it is, it's not everybody around us. It's our walk with God that's the problem. Our fellowship with Him. Let me give you a fourth reason we drift and we stray from the shepherd is because of the world's influence. You know, sheep are naturally stubborn little creatures. They're so self-willed. They just wander on the way. They don't see very well. You ever notice how we let things get in our eyesight? We lose sight of the shepherd. They'll lose sight of the shepherd. And sometimes they just look at what's in front of them and they're nibbling this tuft of grass and nibbling that tuft of grass. And before you know it, they're way over there away from the shepherd. They've just been following the grass and quit looking at the shepherd. They're nibbling grass not chosen for them by the shepherd. And you know what? If we're not careful, Christian, we can start nibbling the grass this world offers rather than the green pastures of what our shepherd offers, and we're far from his leading. We can become discontent with the pasture that the shepherd's provided for us and begin looking across the fence, so to speak, to other pastures not provided by our shepherd. Other fields that are not as rich, not as green, not as lush as the one that we have, but we think it is. And we'll do everything we can to go over, through, under, and around the fence to get into that other pasture. You know what what shepherds call those kind of sheep? Call them fence crawlers. They're just all the time trying to crawl through a fence to get to something that the shepherd didn't want them to have. Hey, there may be poisonous weeds in that field. That may be why that shepherd didn't take them into that field. They want the best of both pastures, and I'm afraid there's Christians who are fence crawlers. They want the best of that world and the best of this one too. You know, that's what Lot wanted. He had everything God had given him, and he lifted up his eyes to the well-watered plains of Sodom, and God had already said that the people of Sodom were wicked sinners exceedingly before the Lord. But he didn't see all of that. All he saw was that pasture. He said, "I want that." And the next thing you know, he's out of that pasture and into Sodom, and he lost his wife and his family and his children and his wealth and his possessions and everything that he owned. It went up in smoke. Shepherd didn't do that. Lot did that. He went in that pasture called Sodom, and it destroyed his life. Christian, if you're not careful, we'll think that there's greener pastures over there with that other relationship rather than the one God's given you. Or you'll think that there is something better out there somewhere than what God's provided for you. That somehow God's better to other sheep than He is to you. And somehow you need to, instead of just following the shepherd. I can promise you, as you've heard many times, usually the greener grass is over the septic tank. Isn't that true? We need restoring because we neglect what we shouldn't be neglecting. We allow difficult circumstances to blind us to the loving care of our shepherd. We let secret sin get into our heart that causes us to stray. And there's sometimes we're just stubborn and we want more of this world and what it has to offer than what God has to offer. But thank God He restores my soul. I'm just going to tell you, if you're one of His sheep, He's not going to leave you out there without trying to bring you back. I can just promise you that. Notice the Bible said He restoreth my soul. He's in the process of doing that all the time. Did you know that? My God's continually sustaining me, working in my life. God is at work in your life right now. You don't have to see it or feel it. I can promise you He is. That word restoreth means to bring back to where one was before. For a sheep, it means to put them back in the fold. For you and I, it's bringing us back into fellowship with God. It literally means He's bringing back my soul. Hey, He's not just like a dog. You can go out there and whistle a dog and you know, them ears perk up and they can be a long way off. And next thing you know, here He comes running. Sheep aren't like that. You can whistle all day long and they're not coming. You got to go get them. Friend, God's not going to leave you out there without coming to get you. Now, you may rebuff Him. You may push Him away. But He's coming for you because He loves you. And He's not going to leave you out there where you can destroy yourself. And I say, praise the Lord. I'm grateful for the times that I've strayed from my shepherd and He's brought me back. I'm glad for those times He's faithfully and graciously restored my soul. I didn't deserve it. He didn't have to do it, but thank God He came for me, and friend, He'll come for you. Let me talk to you about how He restores. Look if you would please in our text, because I'm going to show you three tools the shepherd has, and I'm going to do it real quickly, okay? Notice in verse number 4 there is a rod. Would you circle that rod in your Bible? And then after He talks about thy rod, there is a staff. Would you circle the staff? Now we're going to preach on these again in a different light, but I'm going to talk to you about how He uses them in restoration. Then all the way in verse 4, thou anointest my head with oil. I want you to circle the word oil. Three tools the shepherd uses to restore his sheep. First of all, we're going to do them in a little different order. He uses the staff to restore straying sheep. The staff is a long rod. It's like a walking stick, but it has a crook on the end of it. They'll cut a long, slender sapling, and they'll take it while it's green and bend it and tie it off, and then they'll soak it in water, and then they'll dry it so that that shepherd's crook, will remain in it. And when a shepherd would stray from the flock, the shepherd would reach out with that crook and he would sort of slip that thing around that sheep's neck and he'd gently tug it back. Here, I can just imagine it. Here's a flock of sheep and one of them starts moving over here and there's the shepherd takes that long staff and just reaches out there and grabs and pulls him right back in or taps him on the head. You ever had God tap you on that? Hey, up here. There's times that the world will distract us. There's times that Satan will put temptations in front of us and God will send something. Let me tell you how He did it in David's life. He went right through it. But David, when he saw Bathsheba, he sent some people for her. Say, I want you to go get her for me. And one of them looked at him and said, is this not the wife of Uriah the Hittite? She's a married woman, David. Now he ignored it. But you know what God was doing? Before he ever sinned, He was tapping him on the head. David. David didn't let God get his attention, but it wasn't that God didn't make an effort to keep David from that would destroy him. And if we'll pay attention, God will get our attention too. You know, another time, little lambs will slip along the path and they'll fall down into a steep gully and he can take that shepherd's crook and reach down there and get underneath their body and take that little crook and lift them up again and set them on solid ground. Are you getting the imagery in your mind? David put it this way. He said, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I'm glad that there was a night in 1984 that God, with that shepherd's crook, reached down into the pit of sin and pulled me out and set me on a rock. And friend, listen, there's times that I've fallen and I'm glad that He's lifted me back up. Thank God for a restoring shepherd. Amen. He uses the rod for the stubborn sheep. Sometimes I get so stubborn. Do you ever get stubborn? We use that old term, you know, they're mule-headed. Well, this is sheep-headed. We just get stubborn as sheep. All right? The rod was made of a sapling that was cut off a foot or two from the ground, and the shepherd would dig the sapling up, but he'd leave that knob on the bottom, that root ball on the bottom for a knob, and he would take that and he'll shape it and smooth it and dry it, and he'll actually at times would take and embed pieces of rock in that day or metal later on in life, and that thing would become a club that he would use, and during times when the flock was resting, that shepherd, a young shepherd, would throw that thing, much like somebody, a kid would, when we were young. I probably shouldn't tell things like this because it's different today. You know, I was able to have a knife when I was a kid, and we would throw it at a tree trying to stick it up in it. Am I the only one that ever did that when I was a kid? You know, things have so changed, you know. If you did that today, can't believe you'd let it. You know, it's just teaching a child how to use something, you know. Now, I never threw it at anybody because I knew my granddaddy would tear me up if I did that, you know. Well, that's changed too, hadn't it? Well, let's move on. Let's move on. But he would take that and he'd become proficient at throwing it. But it's also an instrument of correction. That shepherd was so skilled at throwing that club with swift accuracy. If there was a sheep straying that he couldn't get to with the staff, he'd take that club. He wouldn't throw it and hit the sheep. Okay? He would throw it at the front of the sheep to make it look up and get his attention. And it, frightened, would scurry back into the fold. And he would do that time and time again to get its attention. I wonder how many times God's thrown something in my path to get my attention. But if that lamb stayed, got so stubborn that it continually stray and putting itself in danger, after repeated times of correction and restoration, the shepherd would have to take more drastic measures, and he would take the slender little leg of that lamb and he would take the club and he would actually break that little lamb's leg. You'd say, oh, how mean, preacher. Oh, no. No. It was an act of love. Because he knew that breaking that little lamb's leg would heal. But if it went out there in the dangerous places by itself, it could be devoured and torn by wild beasts and animals or get lost and die. He knew the danger out there was far greater than the measure of correction that he was taking with its leg. He would then take that little leg and he would bind it up, put it in splints, and he would lay that sheep on his shoulder and carry it around till it could walk again, and then he would remove the bandage. You know, usually that lamb would stay closer to the shepherd than any other lamb because it felt his heart and knew his love and sensed his affection. And I want to tell you, dear friend, there's times that God allows hurt into our lives to get our attention, but I'm going to tell you, God's not doing that to be mean and unkind. He's doing it because He loves us too much to let us have our own way, because He knows we'll destroy ourselves. And let me give you the third way, and I'm almost finished. Oil for the sick sheep. Thou anointest my head with oil. And I'm going to come back to that when we get to the table lands. But oil for the sheep, for the sick sheep. A cast sheep would roll over, as we said, and couldn't get back up. It's a sick sheep at that point. Sometimes our hearts get sick, don't they? Get discouraged and depressed, and things get in them and are just disquieted within us. You know, I'm glad that whenever that sheep would stray, that shepherd would search for that sheep. He'd walk the lonely hills listening for its bleating voice. And you know, there's times that, like a little lost sheep out there on the hill, we're discouraged, we're down, we're helpless, seemingly hopeless. And we may not be bleating like a sheep, and I'm not going to try to act like a sheep and bleat, okay? But we make little bleats like this. Oh, God, help me. God, what am I going to do? God, how am I going to get through this? Lord, how am I going to face what's... How can I tell my children? How can I... Lord, He hears you. He loves you. He hadn't forgotten you. He'll come to you. Maybe in a bed of actual affliction, or waiting the outcome of a test, or uncertainty of future, we bleed out cries for help. I'm telling you, that doesn't fall on the deaf ears of God. I may not always feel the closeness of my shepherd, but by faith I can know He's there because He's forever faithful and He'll never leave me, as they sang. I am never alone. He is there. And He'll help me. I'm glad for the times the sweet Holy Spirit has come to me in the moments of hurt and pain, my soul cast down, broken, and begins to whisper the promises of God that I've memorized from the Scripture into my heart to tell me it's okay, to let me know He's in control. He pours into my heart, my broken heart, the oil of His goodness and mercy and grace and comfort and joy to help me in time of need. You see, the shepherd would take the cast sheep and he would set it upright again, and then he would reach in and get some oil. And he began to rub down the legs of that sheep, and he would begin to search it for scratches and tears and cuts, and he would pour in the oil, and then he would put just a little bit on the head just to soothe and comfort it because he loved it. And I'm glad for the times that God has poured in the oil of His help into my heart and my life, put the oil of His comfort on my head. Aren't you glad He gives songs in the night? That's how He restores. Have you ever been restored by the shepherd? Let me tell you why He does it, and I'm going to close. Because He loves. That's why. Here the psalmist with a heart of love is saying, He restoreth my soul. You know, as David wrote this as an old man, I used to think he wrote it as a young man, but the more I study it, I think he's at the end of life looking back and he's remembering all the journeys, all the things that God had done in his life, and he's now remembering the times that he failed, the times that he disobeyed, the times that he restrayed, the times that he hurt, and how that God every time came and restored him. Aren't you glad God's faithful? It's a love story. It's a love story. Did you notice He maketh me. He leadeth me. He restoreth my... A sheep can't restore itself, but I'm sure glad the shepherd can. Glad He didn't leave me out there, away from the fold, away from His care. He could have, and rightfully so. The shepherd didn't stray. I did. I didn't... The shepherd didn't leave the sheep. The sheep left the shepherd. Left the shepherd. Jesus put it this way. Listen, I'm almost finished. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, they're in the fold, and go after that which is lost until he find it? He doesn't just look a little while. He searches till he finds it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. Can I tell you, God doesn't beat His sheep. He corrects them. He loves them. And He rejoices when they come back to Him. Charles Spurgeon, in relation to this verse, "He restoreth my soul," put this: when the soul grows sorrowful, He revives it. Sinful, He sanctifies it. Weak, He strengthens it. I'm so glad He restores my soul. Can I give you the rest of the story? Robert Robinson had gotten away from God after he wrote that hymn. He was one day riding on a stagecoach, and there was a young woman across from him. Here's God doing His restoring work. He does it in so many different ways. She's across from him making conversation. He'd been away from God for years. And she said, she didn't know who he was. She said, "I've been reading a hymn, and it has brought such joy and blessing to my heart. Can I share the words with you?" And she began to quote some words, and Robert Robinson was trying to change the subject, and she wouldn't let him. Because those words were the words of a hymn that he had written many years before, "Come Thou Fount." Story goes that he said, "Ma'am, I'm the poor unhappy man that wrote that hymn many years ago. I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy the feelings that I had then." The story goes that not long after that, Robinson in brokenness and tears came back to the Lord. And once again knew the joy that he had with the Savior. That last stanza, part of the story, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering soul to thee." Would you let Him bind you to Him this morning? You may be straying, He'll bring you back. You may be stubborn and you're hurting right now. God loves you. He wants you to come back. You may be sick. He's got the oil of His comfort and His help for you. Can I invite you to come to Him today? Would you let Him restore your soul? Maybe you've never been out there. Maybe been in here, you've drifted from God. Maybe you've never been out in the world, but yet, as a Christian, you're not where you one time was. You're not loving Him like you used to. You're not drawing close to Him. You're not as faithful as you used to be. God's just not where He was in your life one time before. You need to be restored. Maybe you've been a little stubborn. But today, God's throwing the club in your path saying, get back in the fold. Get back in the fold. Maybe you need to come to Him and let Him put the oil of His help in your heart today. I don't know where you are, but God does. And He's ready with open arms to receive you back to Himself because He loves you. Let's bow our heads in prayer.